You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Network. Learn more at wearelibertarians.com. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's what the Chris Spangle Show is about. Get it at wearelibertarians.com or on iTunes.
Welcome to a supplemental episode of We Are Libertarians, and I am going to be one of your hosts tonight. This is Roger Paxton with the Lava Flow Podcast.
This is Seth Nyman, previous guest on We Are Libertarians.
We've got Harry here, the senior black correspondent, plus the new director of IT for WOW. I'll take over that role when I come back, so all issues are my fault when I come back.
This is Joe Jarvis, author of Anarchy in New England and Flight Grounded.
Great book. I've read Anarchy in New England. I have not read the new one yet because I just bought it for $7 right here at Porkfest. So we're all here at Porkfest this week, the 13th annual Porkfest. It's my very first. Harry, this is your third?
Yes, it's my third Porkfest. Yeah, loving it. You know, it's great. I try to get more people out here. Are you liking it? Is this your first year?
Oh, my God. You know, I haven't hardly seen my kids because they're just off running and doing their own thing. And Jess and I are doing our own things. We were on a panel here, met so many great people like Joe, and finally got to meet the black correspondent, Harry.
Yep, I'm super
excited about that. And the gay correspondent, Seth. As well.
Ooh, I'm trying to get drunk, you know, trying to Bill Cosby him real quick.
Right. So is this your first Porkfest too, Seth?
Drugs. Oh. Yes, this is my first Porkfest. So glad to be here. It's been a lot of fun so far.
Yeah. This is my fourth Porkfest, actually. So I got hooked a few years back, and I just want to make it a lifelong thing. Yeah.
So you're the super veteran of Porkfest at the table.
I guess I win. 3 years for you.
Yeah, just 3. Yeah,
I talked to somebody yesterday who's been to every one of them since Porkfest Zero. There was a Porkfest Zero before the first one, and they've been to every one of them. Rich Tommaso, the LPNH chair right now. So every one of them. That's pretty awesome. But I plan to be on every one of them from here on out. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah. To get to all of them, you must have been on like the ground floor.
All those people here at Porkfest Zero, and they talked about how small it was and how it was just a few people at their campsite, and now it's this is you know, it is nice to watch it, sit here and watch it grow, because like even 3 years ago it technically was smaller, and now it's just so many more people. I was also shocked the first year I went, there's like there's so many new people, and I was always concerned when I saw the new people. I was like, well, do people come and not like it and not come back? And then each year I keep coming back, there's still more new people and people coming back.
So it's still only getting bigger.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I wonder about that as well, as this being my first year, because I don't have anything to compare it to.
Yeah, it gets getting back, and it starts getting, people are starting to get more deeper and deeper back in the campsites and taking over the RV sites, and more people are like doubling up over than the other sites.
Well, I heard that there were going to be over 2,000 this year for the first time, which is just huge. I mean, that's pretty incredible. So we brought Joe Jarvis with us. He mentioned he's written a couple of books, and I've read his first one, Anarchy in New England, and I'll let you describe it, because I would never do it justice.
It's set 100 years in the future. What's happened is a collapse, economic, societal collapse of society, and it has been revived at this point to when in 2115 it is completely anarcho-capitalist society, in that it has sprung back without an official government in sense of a authoritative monopoly. There's things that resemble government, and it kind of answers one of the questions that most people have when you start talking about a stateless society, that what happens if somebody tries to take over?
Right. And that's one of the themes I loved about the book, is that there is no government, yet there are some people there who still strive to have a government.
Right.
And the protagonist or the antagonist in your book, that's their goal, is to build a government out of a voluntary society.
Exactly.
And of course they get, I don't want to give the I'm not going to give the ending away. No spoilers.
Yeah. But. And I tried to, you know, mimic what the free market would do in those scenarios. And that was sort of the point of the book, to show how free market can take care of the regulation that that a lot of people depend on government to do, but is really unnecessary and actually harmful to what really holds people accountable for their actions.
And I love what you did with the roads in the boat, because they're hardly ever used. It's more of a kind of a tourist attraction now because nobody uses them. Right. They all use these
better
kind of pods and
yeah.
stuff. And just incredible the way you envisioned all of that. And,
well, I appreciate that. Yeah, I tried to mix some new stuff in there. And I definitely go in depth on a lot of the technology and stuff like that that has changed since then. And I think that would actually be a present in a society like that, because there is uninhibited innovation in that regard, where you can do what you want to do and you don't have to wait the, you know, FDA and the 10 years and whatever it takes to get it past the government.
Yeah, and the fact that that crime is almost non-existent as well. And of course, in a true free market society, we would probably see that. I love how people had, you know, free apartments in the book because of the ads that were running in their apartment. Isn't that how it was set
exactly
up?
And I was trying to base that off of you go on the internet, and most websites, you don't get charged to go on the websites, but you have to look at advertisements. So it's reasonable to think that in a advanced enough society where there is all this extra wealth around, it would be beneficial to a company to give you an apartment advertised to you 24/7 on your walls, and have that be a free apartment, but you're buying the things that they're advertising to you. So it's worth it for them, because the margin is at the point where there is so much wealth that all they need to do is get the edge on you.
Yeah, and then also talking about the transportation pods, you had, you know, different classes. So if you could afford a higher class, you got a better rate of service and things. I mean, just so well done. And, you know, people always ask, well, who will build the roads? Well, you've answered the question in your book. They're not going to need roads.
Which I did like that idea of the advertising. I remember back in like the early 90s, I used to use a free internet dial-up service that you got on the net for free, and you just watch ads right on the bottom of your
net
screen.
Zero.
Net Zero.
I had that.
I didn't use Net Zero. Use Juno,
same
Juno
thing,
free
yeah,
service,
yeah.
But they're the same thing. I think they bought each other out. Yeah, I was using that before I was, you know, getting internet another way. But you know, it was how I was able to get on the net for free for yeah. just watching ads all the time.
Yeah, that was me for many years.
Especially
I was
like
Net Zero for a long time.
I think I started also. It was like I think Kmart did one too with ads on the bottom for Kmart.
So while people use ad block on websites to filter ads, please tell me like somebody was doing ad block in their apartment. Like, you know, I'm imagining like a bunch of paper and duct tape or something just to like cover up all the walls and stuff that are showing ads.
Well, I do mention in the book that, you know, there's always going to be somebody that takes advantage of it a little bit or isn't worth it for them. But it's economically unfeasible for the companies to kick somebody like that out, because they get more backlash towards their products and company than they would by just allowing them to be there. So it's kind of one of those things that it solves itself, because the company is just like, it doesn't gain them anything by kicking those sorts of people.
And those kind of people would be a minority. I mean, most people are just going to sit there and deal with the ads and buy whatever
right,
the
exactly.
stuff they're advertising yeah. for.
And if you think about it, like how targeted are ads? We see tons and tons of ads on a regular basis that like every car commercial that I've ever seen has not worked on me, because I buy like crappy old cars with cash. So that's a complete waste every time I see them, but they must work in some sense because they're still
well happy. They wouldn't spend the money otherwise. They're obviously working for sure.
Zoom I love my Rotary, the Mazda, ads worked on me. You know, for
sponsored by Mazda?
No. By Ice House
Beer.
Love my Rotary, piston list. That's the way to go.
So tell us about the new book.
New book is totally different. It's called Flight Grounded, and it is first person. So it's described, the narrator is the main character. And so it is about somebody who, he wakes up on a plane and he's supposed to be going to Europe, and he didn't remember falling asleep, and he sees all these passengers that are out cold on the plane. The stewardesses, or flight attendants, I guess, are walking down the aisle with some strange metallic headgear and attaching people to IVs, and he freaks out, doesn't know what happened, and runs, and they end up chasing him. He's totally confused about what he's seen. He ends up getting blamed for a terrorist attack. The airplane, this isn't really a spoiler at all, happens pretty early on, but the airplane blows up and he is the culprit according to the media. So he is now in the position of trying to flee from the government and figure out what the hell he saw on that plane and what is why he's being framed for this terrorist act.
So is this another voluntarist type book? Is that, does that fit into it somehow?
I mean, I think that's going to be a theme in pretty much everything I write, but it's not as you could say that Anarchy in New England was kind of specifically trying to show people an anarchist society that is functional. This one doesn't have anything like that, that it's trying to specifically teach people. It's more about one of those. Hopefully, when people read it, they're going to sit back at a couple points and be like, oh my God, what if this was true? that's my hope.
Right. So, in you're writing a prequel, you said, to Anarchy in New England.
Yeah.
And can you give any details about that? I know you're still early in the writing.
Yeah, and I'm you know, only a third through writing it, but I'm hoping within a year I can get that one out. And that would probably be called Food Corp, because that would be the company that it's about. And I think I mentioned that in Anarchy in New England briefly. And it's a walled off city that survives the apocalypse, in essence. And it's about what happens right after the collapse. So we're going back, you know, I said Anarchy in New England is set in 2115, and we're going back to the 2020s with Food Corp and looking at the collapse and how it was, society was preserved.
Please tell me that the instant the government collapses, all the roads just crumble immediately.
They do.
That needs to be in the book, for sure.
And people's licenses aren't valid anymore, so they all crash their cars.
Instantly. Just instantly into a tree, even if there's not one there. Yeah, that's exactly how it needs to happen. So, Harry, do you want to ask Joe a question?
You bought Flight Grounded.
I did. So. Yeah, okay, so I've just bought the books, but both of them. I haven't read them, so I don't... I can't comment on them because
you
can
but
I'm sure they're great. I'll make a horribly prejudiced opinion of them. 10 out of 10 best books ever. There you go.
It's the best book he's never read.
Can I work for IGN now? I mean, that's
so. Where can people get your books?
Amazon.com. They can get them. If you like to buy it with Bitcoin, you can get the first one at I think it's FPP.cc.
Yep.
You can buy that one with Bitcoin.
That's Free Press Publication, which is Daryl Perry's publication site.
Yep. And hopefully I'll get the other one up for Bitcoin, but right now you can go on Amazon and get either one, an electronic version.
All right. So I did think of a legitimate question, and this has more to do with the Anarchy in New England one.
Sure.
And so, because I've thought about this before, like an ANCAP society, and how could you display this in a work of fiction, like a TV show or a movie, or maybe, you know, even the setting for a video game story or something like that. And just in my own personal like kind of musings of it, I always figured it'd kind of be difficult because it is such a niche philosophy and an idea that people think about. And it's hard to get even, you know, your average Joe, no pun intended, but to get them to even imagine what that would be like. And so how did you approach that while trying to avoid any concerns of like, it essentially just being, you know, a very niche thing that only insiders would get.
Well, and I did try to explain it in a way that people would understand, because that was part of the point. And this is why I have to, I don't want to criticize myself too much, but I think the new one is better in the sense of it will reach larger than a niche market. And The last one was made for that purpose of trying to show people that society. And I think it had a decent plot and everything like that, but I think it's going to show through anytime you write a book that's entirely, you know, that your original purpose was to show how a society functions. And it did go into a lot of, that is probably the weak point of the book, where it went into a lot of deep explanations about how it happened that way, which isn't necessarily good for a plot of a book. Most books that are going to be super interesting, you might not have in-depth explanations like that. But if you can, it is, I think, still an interesting plot. So if you can go into those things, and if you're the type of person that enjoys saying like, oh, well, how would this work? It must be fun to kind of explore that. That being said, I know probably a lot of people that read books are looking for something a little bit less, I don't know. I think Ayn Rand would kind of do the same thing sometimes, where she would really keep going with something to explore really all the angles of it. And so I think there is a market for that, but, not necessarily everybody. I think everybody would enjoy the new one because it is more, you can just read it and you're not being brought into these, you know, kind of rabbit holes or
So now that you've published two books, you're obviously very wealthy, right?
Oh, yes.
But have you been able to make a little bit of profit?
Well, at least Bitcoin's, while I'm getting paid with Bitcoin, it's also going up, so that hasn't hurt. But
great.
The ultimate goal is to transition to this as a main source of income, and that hasn't happened yet, but you really need a few books out before you can expect that to happen. And I think that there's other ways to market yourself as well, where it's not necessarily going to be about the book sales, but hopefully some days, you know, I can be given talks and stuff like that, and that'll be a fun.
There's plenty of talks at Porkfest.
What made you actually sit down and actually want to start writing that book? Was it just tired of flame wars on Facebook and arguing like, I've made this same point 5 times. Should I just write a book?
Yeah, it totally was, because I was blogging nonfiction since 2012 at joejarvis.me, and it is it's fun to do, and I enjoy making those arguments, and I think they do have some purpose, because a certain type of person is going to be persuaded by those arguments. But the vast majority of people that I talk to are, you know, a lot of people were influenced by Ayn Rand and by, Tolkien is pretty anarchist. And I just decided that is kind of a better avenue for me at this point, because I did make all the arguments I could, and there are a lot of good people making those nonfiction arguments already. For me to compete with them, it was, in essence, I felt like I was falling behind, where they have the more intellectual side cornered. And I said, you know what, I have all these like random daydreams and musings, and I should use those, because I sit there and I think about this type of society, and I think about what would happen, and I just make things up in my head. And I was like, you know what, if I write these down, because there is a plot there, it probably will be pretty interesting to some people.
Well, and at least for me, I was able to, you know, really envision in my head, reading the words, what this could look like. And that was one of the great things about the book for me, is it opened my eyes to, because you always get the questions, well, how will anarchists do this? How will anarchists do that? And it really kind of puts a picture in your head about how it can be done.
So yeah, and great. I was trying to answer some of those questions while, you know, you can't answer all the questions because it's infinite. You know, people are always going to ask you another question. But I tried to get to those situations where, you know, I think I hit on charity and the roads and security, because the security is the big one. That's what the plot is about. A security CEO tries to take over. And that's people's main worry. Like, well, if we don't have a government, what if a government forms? I understand. It's scary.
Yeah, once you're done with the government, you don't want it back.
Yeah. I mean, but even that argument, it's like, okay, my house is on fire. Maybe I shouldn't put it out because, I mean, gee, what if it catches on fire again after I've extinguished it? Right. So it's like, no, the right thing here is to have a house that's not in flames.
Or insured for more than it's worth. You know, what if you hedge your bet, you know, let the thing burn down, you know, get a better house out of it.
There you go. Harry Price promoting insurance fraud 2016.
It's not insurance fraud.
You have that
fraud.
Recorded. It's permanently on the internet.
It's not insurance fraud. Your house is on fire. You're just deciding whether is it worth spending all those gallons of water putting it out, or the man hour of people coming there putting it out and then possibly fixing it up. Just let the whole thing burn down and let it build up.
This is presuming you don't live in the Sahara, where water is a very scarce resource. So,
or California.
true point.
Or here in Somalia, here at Porkfest, you know, water is a scarce resource here in Somalia.
Right. Well, in Somalia, they probably put fires out with sand, I would guess. You would almost have to. You're certainly not going to use water.
Yeah. I use my Dogecoin to start fires here.
So Somalians would know the answer to Ted Cruz's question about the sand glow, right? I mean, if they're putting out fires with it all the time.
Right. Terrible. Mm-mm. We're not going to talk about Ted Cruz. We're not going to. So since you brought up politics, which I was hoping to avoid, who here is voting for Donald Trump? Oh, that's only Greg Lenz. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Greg. Ooh.
Yeah, he's going to give me a shit for that one.
Well, his stock profile's got a lot of concrete and rebar in it. So
right. Well, but if you think about it, I mean, Greg Lenz wants to bomb brown people because he doesn't want them coming over here. That's Donald Trump, right?
Yeah.
I've always said this about Greg. Anytime a Muslim or any person with a slightly darker skin complexion so much as sneezes in the wrong direction, he is of the opinion of black the sky out with drones. He has no patience for it at all.
Well, he's made the case he was going to send bombs of freedom to Arkansas to give me real freedom. And here's this guy's not even an NCAP. Give me a break.
Arkansas might actually need those bombs of freedom.
Well, the Clintons did come from Arkansas, so I'll give you that. I'll give you that.
Need to export liberty.
Right, export liberty. Yeah, absolutely. So who are you voting for, Harry? Or do you even vote?
I don't vote. Let me phrase that better. I do cast votes in their stinking elections just for the simple fact that I like to have the ability for other parties, like the third parties, to allow to have ballot access in Indy. That's the only reason I vote, so they can have ballot access to hopefully they gather somebody. But other than that, if I'm busy that day, I'll go do something else. I'll go have an ice cream or something, or just on the way to the liquor store.
And that ice cream will probably have a more profound impact on your life than who you voted for in the next 4 years. Yeah.
Well, I like walking in there, either like hitting straight ticket some other like a third party or putting in like John Madden for president.
Right. Well, it's coming from somebody who busted his ass to get ballot access for Arkansas for the Libertarian Party. I certainly appreciate people who do that. But now I'm to the point where I don't know that I can vote for anybody this election.
You've betrayed your people. The LP? Come on now.
The LP betrayed me by nominating Gary Johnson and Bill Weld. Let's be honest about it. They betrayed me.
Referred to the Bob Barr ticket? Oh, right. Sorry. No.
It's like Ronald Reagan used to say, I didn't leave the Democrat Party. The Democrat Party left me. Well, I feel the same way about the Libertarian Party. Anybody who's going to nominate Bill Weld on a Liberty ticket, bullshit.
If the inside of the system activists want that, that's who they want, that's who they want to run, Let them. But I will say this. Next time I do something outside the system, support me. Give me cash. Don't give me hell in forums. Well, I can't believe you guys did this. When we're going for elections, look what you did. You actually gave this guy the platform that you swore have worked hard for and it needs to stand for liberty. Cool. I will support you if you support mine. Stay out of mine, I'll stay out of yours. I'll support you, support mine.
Well, in the predictions I've made on my podcast, thelavaflow.com, for everybody who doesn't know that yet, is that basically Gary Johnson is going...
What was the name of the show?
The Lava Flow at thelavaflow.com. Yes, I'm a whore. I pour myself out.
Did you get that syndicate on the Wall Network yet?
No, but I do have my big banner up at Porkfest. Of course. But I made the case that Gary Johnson is going to become more and more moderate, and he's not going to be libertarian. Well, here already, Bill Weld came out last week for the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Gary Johnson came out for it as well today. I'm sorry, he's not a libertarian.
I'm having flashbacks to the gay Nazi cake episode. Right. Yeah, yeah. Right. Which was my first appearance in a while, but yeah.
Yeah, it's like I said on my show, his name is now Gary Ban the fucking Burka, Bake the fucking Cake Johnson. That's his new nickname, and that's kind of been picked up by my listeners, which is great. I love it.
I just want bake my fucking cake. I just want a cake.
As chief gay correspondent, I can say we're awfully starved of cakes. I mean, can you attest to that, Joe? Like, every day I wake up as a homosexual and say, where are the cakes in
my
life?
Well, that's the one thing if we need government for is to make sure that we have cakes, access to cakes.
Damn straight.
In 2016, it's just damn gay, I should say, that gays don't have access to the cakes that straights have access to.
Horrible injustice.
And I think that's just an indictment of our society.
I'm ANCAP until it comes to my cakes.
I mean, if you have to force somebody to do a market transaction for you, cakes are clearly the most important thing.
Well, and this is what happens when the government gets involved in anything. We were having dinner out here, and we have two gay guys eating with us, and the only person who's gay married in the whole group is a straight guy who married another straight guy for the tax benefits. I mean, come on, that's brilliant, but that's what happens when you get the government involved.
And that's awesome. I mean, marriage as a government institution is so stupid. And when everybody was celebrating last, I think I was at Porkfest last year when that passed. And, all the typical gays are celebrating it. And I'm just like, who cares? Like, so you got permission by the same people who have been, subjugating you. And it's insane that people look to the government to protect them when, with black people too, the Jim Crow laws, it's like they were Jim Crow laws. It was the government that did them. And then repealing something horrible that you did is not a feather in the cap of the government.
As Raven would say, yay government, so proud of you. It's like, this is the same government that would have put you in jail 13 years ago for having sex with another man. Like, this is not...
And they didn't even do anything positive. They took away whatever negative that they had there. Mm-hmm. They're like, now we will treat you equally like slaves.
They're fixing what they fucked up long ago.
Right. Yeah.
Well, the same way, like, the Democratic Party, who segregated the military. Well, sorry, resegregated the military. They when they got into the early 1900s, they started to separate everything, put into the housing, the code edition, so you would have to force people to have colored bathrooms and have, you know, whites only bathrooms. That was placed in from the government to for coding laws.
Well, and marriage licenses from the beginning were nothing but racist. They were to keep, you know, Harry from marrying my white daughter. I mean, that's what that's what they were put in place for. And now we're just using them. Even though gay marriage is now legal, now polygamous marriages are still not legal, so we're discriminating against them. It's completely discriminatory from the beginning.
Yeah, yeah. But it's what they do. They have the guns. They make the rules.
Right, right. The more guns equals the more rules. Absolutely.
I think that's what Jeffrey Tucker was talking about today, actually. Jeffrey Tucker gave a talk, and he was saying that a lot of these statist things, even though people want to explain them away today as like, oh, well, they were trying their best to, you know, do whatever. It's not true. A lot of these statist things had their root in eugenics, trying to eliminate a race or people through these clever methods like a minimum wage, where you cut people out of the market for labor because it's at a point where they can't enter it because of the skills that are required for that wage.
Triggered.
More racial purity.
Yeah. If you look at the black unity flag, when it has the red, the green, and the black on it, the green stands for the Irish. The blacks and Irish people were the main people hurt for minimum wage laws and union work. The unions and minimum wage laws were just because they were trying to people were trying to get the blacks and the Irish to start taking all the construction jobs. They were all... All the construction jobs back in the day was just all blacks and Irish. That's who took all the jobs. So they were like, we've got to steal this from them. We got to take it from them. So they started putting minimum wage in all their, and they started forming all the steel unions, stuff like that, to kick the Irish out.
Oh, Harry, you've just been brainwashed by the white people. You betray your own race. This is what's going on here.
See, like, the funny thing is, he jokes about that, but I actually do get that all the time. I get a lot of black people to tell me, like, I do not know my black history. You need to come down here to the South. We'll teach you, like, we'll show you what your history is. Like, dude, I'm in Indianapolis. I know my black history.
You're an Uncle Tom, you know. I'm sure.
Yeah.
Well, it's like Walter Williams hears that, you know, all the time. You know, he's an Uncle Tom.
Thomas Sowell, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. That's
I've read a lot of his books, and, you know, from hearing, like, I now take hearing being called an Uncle Tom, I take it, you know, it's part of pride because I actually read the freaking book. He was trying to help every other slave
right,
out there.
Right, that's exactly right.
And then when it comes to like a field Negro or house Negro, like at least the house got air conditioning now.
I was going to ask if you read White Liberals, Black Rednecks by Thomas Sowell.
I love that book. It is one of my favorite books. I was on like a 10 to 15 year quest to try to come up with an answer of what happened to black people. Yeah. That book answered
Scottish
it for
people. Happened to black people.
Right, yeah, Scottish.
Right, right.
Which blew my mind. Yeah. I was like, oh my God. It's like, this. Let me see his sources. Let me cite this one. Yeah. This is all right here. All this information I wanted was right here in this book.
Beautiful. Beautiful. I haven't read that book yet. I've got to check that one out.
Yeah.
It sounds great.
And it's cool. He talks about, it's like this. It's literally a Scottish culture. The redneck culture is something that was brought from the Highlands of Scotland. And when slaves were being kept one family to one family, a white family to a black family for slaves, the culture rubbed off on them. And it's a redneck culture that was brought here from white people in Scotland.
Wow. And I come from Arkansas, so I know all about some rednecks.
Yeah. And from reading that book, you also notice how that redneck culture has permeated everything. Mexicans are permeated with redneck culture. Indians and Asians that are coming over here, they're getting hit with that same crappy redneck culture. Now, there's nothing too terribly wrong with rednecks. I like them. I like hanging out with them. They got great booze. But it's... But a lot of the...
Be careful of that booze, though. You never know what's in it.
But it's not FDA-approved booze, so we obviously can't trust it.
But a lot of the bad habits, you know, like, you know, goes through it, and it kind of just shows itself when you're trying... Especially when you're trying to help somebody. But it's... The black anarchists, they're starting to realize that, like, this is not our culture, this is not our ways, and they're trying to... They are fixing it. And I'm just shocked of, like, the black anarchist community. They don't know the problem with the black anarchists, they don't know they're anarchists. They just know they just have a very healthy distrust of government.
Well, Black Panther is a perfect example. They were very anti-government in the day and still are to this day.
Yes, yeah.
So that's a perfect example, yeah.
Yeah. Especially like when you start learning about it, it's like, okay, so every gun law was meant to try to keep guns out of Irish and Black people, you know.
Or Native Americans before then.
Yeah, them too, yeah.
Well, the largest mass shooting was not Orlando. I mean, it was when they tried to confiscate the guns from the Native Americans.
Well, yeah. Well,
can't remember the exact name of
the Black Unity Flag. That's what the red's for. The red is for Native Americans. So, yeah, little known history.
You're one with your red men, huh?
Yeah, yeah. That's what the flag stands for. Well, and the flag only got created for the simple fact because there used to be this massive racist song about like you can't support people who don't have a flag. So, because Black people didn't have a flag, because they were most Black people who were brought over, this episode's getting very racial, brought over here, so they don't most of the slaves brought over here were always slaves. They were always slaves, and they never really had their own country or flag when they got brought here anyways, and their culture was already obliterated from being slaves in Africa, then brought here and became and still was slaves. So that got fast forward, anyways, it was just a terrible, terrible Southern song that got brought out of like, hey, you can't trust anyone or respect anyone who doesn't have a flag. Hence, they made the Black Unity Flag.
My flags, right?
Yeah, my flag. Yeah, you don't have a flag.
God hates flags. So, unless I want to open it up, first of all, if any three of you have any last thoughts on the whole racial bunny trail. But aside from that, I'd like to, you know, bring it back to Roger's original question, which was the politics and like who are you voting for and that kind of stuff. But any last thoughts on that?
I'm tired of being racist.
All right. Yeah. Cool. We're done with that. So I'll go ahead and answer the question next. The original question, Roger, was
who are you voting for?
So if I vote for anybody, it'll be Gary Johnson. I love Trump just from how he's able to like reduce liberals to a pile of tears. I think that's great. There's nothing that gives me greater joy than watching liberals just cry themselves to death. That's great. But I'd never vote for the man. Yeah, I'd never vote for him though. And Gary, I'm still kind of mixed about it. I'd have to do a lot of thinking. I mean, it is November, so I got more time to think about it. The other thing to consider is that Election Day is on my birthday this year. So depending on what I'm doing, I may just not give any fucks and say skip it. So we'll see what happens in November. But
I was talking to somebody who, and I kind of agree with this, they're more likely to vote for Gary Johnson if he has no chance of getting elected. Because they wouldn't want to vote for somebody that actually ends up getting elected and having had an influence on whatever negative things that he does. So so they wanted to vote for Gary if he was at a point where the percentage would say something to people, you know, like this many people are voting third party, but not enough to actually be responsible for any actions that come out of that.
But I think he's always been in that camp. Like he does not have any realistic chance of winning. And
I suppose, but
5%, I mean, could be the best that he'd do. And then they get all the federal funding and all that.
Do you think that this election has already been different enough from other elections to say that there is a possibility based on the amount of negativity that both the main no
that he could win? Fuck no. I mean, he's not going to win. He might get 5%, but at the end of the day, I think there's, you know, as much as Chris and Greg, you know, like to go on about this, about like, oh my gosh, the LP is going to get so many, you know, votes this time because people hate Trump and people hate Hillary. And I hate to rain on their parade, but at the end of the day, I think people are going to look at Trump and Hillary and decide which one they dislike the least and go with them. I hope I'm wrong. Please, I hope I'm wrong and that Gary gets, you know, 12% or something. But either way, I don't think he has a snowball's chance of winning.
See, I like that hate there because that's the same hate and or the opinion people had about Trump. Nah, Trump's just saber rattling. He's not going to be in this for a long time. Oh, he has no chance of winning. He has no chance of winning Iowa. See, look what happened. Look, he's going to come to New Hampshire. Look what's going to happen. It's like, so yeah, keep discrediting Gary Johnson. That might be better for his, you know, favor, because of what Joe was saying. Like, if they believe he has no chance, people may vote for him. I'm with Joe on that one.
But let's be honest. I mean, the best I think Gary Johnson is going to do is maybe doubling what he got in 2012. And that's if he doesn't get into the debates. If he gets in the debates, he might get that 5%. But what does that give us? It turns the Libertarian Party into a welfare whore. The Libertarian Party is now going to be taking welfare money from the government to run their candidates from now on. Is that what the Libertarian Party should be about?
If they didn't want to have the so-called state blood on their hands, they never should have become a political party in the first place. That's my contention. Now, I'm not LP at all. I'm little L Libertarian, so I don't care. I don't really have a, you know, dog in the fight, so to speak. But I don't know. I guess I can't speak on that too much.
Isn't there some percentage that it could get to where it would come down to, like, Congress voting for the president?
I'm honestly not sure.
I'm pretty sure there's some, like, if they don't reach a certain threshold.
I know what you're talking about, and it's really ambiguous. It's only happened once before. It's where, like, if there's no clearly determined winner, and I don't know how they do that, if it's based on popular vote or electoral college, but it has happened once before, and at that point,
I mean, if it was simple majority, then it would, I mean, this is still like trying to, you know, imagine things the way you want them to go, but it would still, if it was a 50% thing and then Congress voted on it, you could see how perceivably a Republican-dominated Congress wouldn't want to go with Trump and would find Kerry Johnson, the former Republican governor of New Mexico and Weld, as a beneficial thing to vote for instead of being like, oh, you voted for Trump, or clearly the Republicans aren't going to go for Hillary.
So to kind of address, I guess, the original sentiment you'd brought up, Joe, of like, you know, oh, if Gary has a chance of actually winning, I wouldn't want to vote for him because, geez, like, what if he does win? And then he starts doing stuff. And he's, well, see, I don't look at it that way, mainly because, like, I mean, I guess the fear is he becomes president, and then for a lot of Americans who have no clue about libertarianism, like, this is what they see as a libertarian. So any awful thing or less than totally pure thing that Gary does while in office, they view it as a, you know, they take that to mean, oh, this equals libertarian.
Or the whole collapse happens and it's like, see, it was a libertarian.
Well, wouldn't we want that collapse if he could bring it about?
Well, maybe we would, but everybody would look and be like, oh, the second we elected a libertarian, everything fell to shit.
Everybody collecting those social security checks would not be so happy. But,
well, good, the system's down. Keep it down.
But, I mean, and maybe I'm drinking too much of the Chris and Greg Kool-Aid, but, you know, when you listen to their episodes and they do talk about Gary's track record in New Mexico and things he was able to do there, I see Roger shaking his head, and I know it's not pure. Trust me, I'm as black and yellow as they come, but if you're talking about, you know, the number of bullets you're shooting into a corpse, I think Gary would shoot less. And go ahead.
You kind of said it. It's a corpse.
But he runs on that record. But the thing is, nobody's really looked at that record. Yes, he vetoed a fuck ton of bills, but that's about the only thing he did as governor. He doubled the debt in the state. He has now, you know, taken government money to run for president. He had to end up giving some of it back because he lied to the election commission. But he also passed a bill in New Hampshire. He signed the bill where children as young as 13 years old could go before could get the death penalty. He signed that bill as governor. I mean, this guy is not a libertarian. He runs around all the time, oh, I'm fiscally conservative, I'm socially liberal. But all that does is confuse people. That's a moderate. That's not a libertarian. That's going to piss off the liberals who think that fiscally conservative means giving all the tax money to the military. And it's going to piss off the right because they're going to think that it means giving all the money to welfare people.
That's true. And then this kind of gets back to the whole thing where it's like there is no good candidate. So what are we doing? Are we voting for the lesser of three evils instead of two?
Lesser of three evils is still evil.
Right? Yeah. And it kind of is that same old thing. I was going to say earlier when you were asking about voting, if it wasn't voting just for politicians, I think it makes sense to vote on referendums. If there's something where you can actually affect, you know, if they're going to legalize or I guess decriminalize would be better, marijuana, then go and vote for that because it's going to actually bring freedom. If you're going to put somebody on a pedestal who you don't know what their actions are going to be, perhaps that is what's not going to be good unless you get that actual candidate that is perfect.
So, a question, Roger. All this dirt that you've brought up about Gary Johnson, which I've never heard before, and I'm sure dear leader will have a little shit fit when he finds out this is getting published on his podcast, but is that stuff you've gone into great detail on the lava flow?
I have. I've actually dug deep into Gary Johnson and Bill Weld both, because I actually did a breakdown of all four of the top four candidates for LP on my show before the convention, because I wanted to get it out there. And I actually supported Dale Perry, not because I thought he would be a great presidential candidate.
Right. The establishment anarchist candidate. Okay?
Right. But because he had that philosophical message that people need to hear, and Gary Johnson just doesn't. But yes, a lot of the things I just talked about with Gary Johnson, if you go to Thomas Knapp's blog, it's Knappster, KNAPPSTER.blogspot.com. He's got all of these details on Gary Johnson's actual, what he actually did in New Mexico that nobody's really looked at. But we always say, oh, he vetoed more bills than all the other governors combined. Sure, he did that, but what else did he do?
Well, yeah, and having heard that, I'll have to look into it more, but I will say, just after hearing that, I'm probably less likely to vote for Gary. I'll probably just celebrate my birthday or something on that day.
Yeah, if you look into it, like, Governor Mitch Daniels was more libertarian.
Which is so crazy to think about, but it's true.
Well, at least Mitch Daniels, he's listened to, like, libertarians.
He treated the state government as, like, a business and just wanted to run it efficiently. Well, which, like, I've always heard the same type of stuff about Gary, but apparently he said some dodgier stuff on his record.
Yeah, but, like, Mitch, like, he said it, and he actually did it. Mitch went in there, found out, like, this is going to get inside baseball a little bit, but I'll try to be quick with it. In Indianapolis, we have the Colts and we have the Pacers. They have these massive stadiums there. But they built new ones. They realized, like, hey, these things, the Democrats, before they left office, these things were designed to be ran in the red. They were designed to be huge, just tax funnels, just pull money out and put money right into these different
that
hands.
That 2% tax on your food and beverage for the Lucas Oil Stadium, right?
Wasn't enough to pay for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but everywhere in the state you go, they buy food and beverage, you have to pay an extra 2% just because of a stupid stadium.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And on the whole.
Welcome to Indiana.
Yeah. Yeah.
I went to the Lucas Oil Stadium when I was still a NRA guy.
I'm glad you saw the light on that one, because the NRA is shit.
Well, and it's a little bit ironic there, because it's like I was at a stadium that is being paid for with tax dollars from I know they're a gun organization, but you know,
dirty statist.
I used to think of them as a more, you know, freedom oriented organization.
Well,
it was cool that
to your credit, you're coming from Massachusetts, so we'll go easy on
and
you.
And to Daniel's credit, I mean, he was in a stadium with a bunch of people who had guns. You know what I mean?
There's
something to be said, yeah, about if they're not going to take your guns, then there's some element to them that's not a total piece of shit, because they don't want to go as far as some of them.
The only good thing about the NRA having an NRA membership is the NRA lawyer that you get if you shoot somebody. That's the moment, like, oh crap, you just drop your gun, you put your NRA membership on top of your gun, you're like, I don't talk to nobody until this guy shows up right here. I don't say a damn word.
Well, and Gun Owners of America does the same. I'm actually a member of GOA instead of the NRA, but I'm looking at a gun range here in New Hampshire. I guess I'm the only one here that lives in New Hampshire. We'll get on the Free State Project in a bit, but there's a gun range just about 10 miles from my house that you have to be an NRA member to be a member of the range. So it's like, do I want to do that?
But you want my membership? You could probably pass as a Harry.
Blackface?
Yeah. Why not?
I could do it.
Just say you're from Arkansas, you had this massive tan, it's gone now.
Shave that beard a bit, maybe. I don't think I've seen many black gingers, but yeah, we can go with
There's
it.
There's a few.
Are you serious?
Part of that redneck culture, yeah.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But that goes back to the marriages. You know, they allowed them to mix with us. You know, that's where you get the
Of course, I would hope he would check his beard privilege. Some of us has been working on their beard for a long time and still can't even get close to that.
I am jealous of the ability to not grow a beard. I wish I was like my Asian friends, where you just, because I hate shaving and I don't want to deal with that.
See this right here, right? Oh, I know I'm doing like visual comedy here on radio.
Can you see all this, listeners?
I am demonstrating the lack
of
beard.
Let me describe the stubble in detail so you can get a mental image.
This is good, like 2 to 3 weeks worth of stubble here.
Well, this is my beard privilege. You know, it's just what it is. And it actually took me about a month to finally get this to where it was okay. And now it's been 6 months. So it's. Yeah.
I remember complaining about this, and someone was like, well, that'll happen when you hit 30. I'm like, I've hit 30. This is still where it's at.
Some of us are more blessed. Of course, I don't have any on top, so.
I just started getting chest hair. I'm 27.
That's when mine started, too, yeah.
What about pubes? Sorry. Okay.
When I had that really strong whiskey, that's when that started.
Right, right, right. Yeah, it'll grow hair on a chest. That's right, that's right. So do we want to talk about the Free State Project now? I know that, Harry, you've signed the intent to move.
Yes, I signed it about 5 or 6-ish years ago.
Oh, you're supposed to move with 5 years of triggering, though.
Yeah, yeah. Of when you sign.
Aside from Feminist My Feels, but what?
Triggering the move was when the Free State Project reached 20,000 members, or 20,000 signatures, which they did in February of this year. Okay. And I actually moved in October, so I'm considered a Free Stater, but an early mover.
Because
I moved before they triggered the move.
Yeah.
So I'm not only beard privileged, I'm libertarian privileged as well, because I'm an early mover.
Well, I heard about the Free State Project early on, like the early rumblings on the internet, people talking about it. But, you know, I was like, this is going to go nowhere. That won't really happen. New Hampshire's cold. Yeah, I would like moving up there, but now it's not going to happen. Forgot about it, you know? You know, became a scumbag Republican for a few years, you know? Hey, I came out of public schools. I was a hardcore Democrat and a meta libertarian who kind of switched me to the, well, like, I almost went libertarian right out of high school, but I was like, no, you're crazy. And then went with the Republicans, like, this is less crazy. And then quickly realized, like, they're both crazy.
That's exactly right. Well, I come from the right. My wife comes from the left. And I say we met in the middle to be libertarians. So we had to do something or kill each other. So
my family's pure left. Well, of course, being black and living in the city, of course, they're leftists. But
so did they? Is it almost as bad as coming out as gay? As coming out as a Republican?
I think it probably would have been easier to come out as gay with my family, you know. But like coming out as like you, just like I remember getting like looked at and shunned. Like, you want to move to New Hampshire? Are there us up there? I'm like, what is us? What do you mean us up there? There's us of me up there. Yeah.
Do they think you're going to hell?
Yeah, some of them, yeah. Well, I get that because, like, not technically married to my wife for 13 years. I keep getting like, when are you going to make her an honest woman? She is honest. She's honest in all her dealings. What are you talking about? Yeah. But we're planning on moving up here. I was trying to, it took me a while to convince my wife to want to do it. She was going to follow me because, one, she just wanted to get out of Indy. She's been in the city of Lawrence her whole life. She just wanted to leave. But she wasn't really motivated at all up until she watched this, you know, if you want to watch this little video, Derek J, Victimless Crime Spree. That movie convinced her to come up here. That was her, like, this is important. I want to go up there and support or do stuff like that. This is what I want to go do. I was like, oh, cool, awesome. Then what got her on board and got her to sign. But, you know, we're on our way up here. Sorry.
Has she been able to meet Derek this week yet?
Yes. Yeah. Well, we've been up here. We met Derek at Pork Fest a few years ago. But like, we really got to sit down and talk with him at Keenvention and hang out with him, which is. You know, it's pretty cool to like meet him in like real life, like because you have this picture of him, like when you hear him like on radio and stuff like that, and you see him around, it's like, wow, this isn't an act, this isn't a character, this is you.
he lives it for sure, and he actually just moved. Of course, he left from Keene, went to spend a summer in South America. God, that's the life, right? And then he came back up, and he now lives in the Seacoast, not very far from me. So I see him all the time, and you know, he is that life, and his boyfriend Steven as well. I mean, they are hardcore activists, running around trying to get everybody to accept Bitcoin, and you know, doing it all.
Yeah, they're real deal, and like you said, like Derek is totally. Completely what you see in there is what you get. He's totally honest about that. And I love how Steven is like a Bitcoin evangelist. Everywhere he goes, do you accept Bitcoin? Why don't you? Let me tell you how to. And it's just awesome.
He's already got several places in Portsmouth to accept Bitcoin, and he's only been here just a couple of months.
Exactly.
It's like he is on top of it for sure. And it's funny, he was on a panel with us this morning with my wife and I for potential movers, people who were thinking about making the move, and they wanted us to talk about our experiences. We sent a picture of the panel to my mother-in-law, who said, who's that pretty girl on the end that looks like a guy? Oh, talking about Steven. So, oh my God.
Of course, have very pretty features.
He does.
He does. He's a gorgeous man. But and I'm not even gay. I can appreciate he is a gorgeous man.
No homo, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
Right. Well, it's funny because I saw him and Derek J doing yoga out here a couple days ago, half naked. I'm like, damn, if I were gay. Holy. I mean, they are gorgeous men, let's be honest.
So as I pass the mic to the gay man.
Yeah.
Comments on that, Seth?
Oh, man. Not on air. My mother might be listening.
Right.
I should never have said any about any of that, or Greg's going to hear it, though.
Yeah. Oh, I can imagine the memes that'll come of you. You'll be... You're going to see yourself in pride parades and, you know, big black dildos, all kinds of crazy things. It's coming. Just wait until Greg gets his hands on it.
I do love things like the victimless crime spree that Derek's in, because I had a random friend from my hometown who's not a libertarian, and he randomly mentioned, he's like, oh, I was like on your Facebook one day and I saw the victimless crime spree and I watched it, and that was awesome. I watched it again, and it was like, I can't believe the way he was treated. And so you don't know what's going to reach people, and it's great that you have so many people here coming at it from different angles, because in one aspect it's like, There's documentaries, there's books, obviously, there's activism. And then there's, you know, my sister who's not even, I have one sister who's here. I'm lucky. I brought my family along with me on this whole crazy anarchist thing. But my other sister is homeschooling her kids. And that's another way that we're making this work. You don't have to make a documentary. You don't have to write a book. That if you're homeschooling your kids and you're raising them properly, like, you're doing it. That's what we need.
So I like how one of the speakers today, Daniel Rothschild, said it. He's a liberty slut. Like, he doesn't know what way will work, but he'll just try them all and see what happens.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, because for me, there's really only one specific way. Ever since I went far down the rabbit hole and discovered the NAP, like, I can't argue for minarchy. Like, I can't go to that intermediate step. I know better, and it'll bug me otherwise. But, you know, other things, the victimless crime spree or what have you, I'm kind of open to, you know, people just trying whatever works to convince others, because I certainly don't have the magic formula.
Well, just throw a bunch of things against the wall and see what sticks.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that's the great thing about having now 2,000 movers and 2,500 in-state friends. I mean, we've got damn near 5,000 hardcore activist libertarians in the state really making change. We've got over 20 right now in the state house, Free State Project people.
And the original paper theorized that 20,000 is enough to make the mark on a million strong population.
Yeah, and we're at about 1.5 million right now.
Yeah.
So we would obviously want more than that 20,000, but I don't think they're going to quit at 20,000. Steven Zeiler actually made the case in our panel today that he expects to see 100,000 eventually.
Eventually,
that would be fantastic, because we would literally take over the state and hopefully secede. But
I would love to see secession. But go ahead.
You mentioned homeschooling. My wife and I unschool our two children.
Yeah, awesome.
And you're right. I mean, that's one of the best things you can do for liberty, because you're teaching that next generation to go out there and do their thing. And that's absolutely.
Exactly.
So despite Stephen Molyneux's plunge off into the deep end, say what you will, but he's.
You can't pronounce his name correctly on the podcast. You have to butcher it, please. Try it again. Now butcher it.
Stephen Molyneux. There we go. So he, you know, He did have a thing on peaceful parenting, which I haven't listened to the whole podcast, but from what I saw, you know, it was really, really good stuff, you know, from the realm of like, don't spank, don't circumcise. But even more than that, like, just parents like threatening to leave their kids at a park, and you, like, you don't realize like that's a death sentence on your kid that you're doing there. But parents do that all the time. And so like, I really appreciate Stefan from, those aspects. Nowadays, I don't know what the fuck his deal is, but that's one of the things that he's kind of made the case, is that like raising children in a proper way to respect liberty and view life from the perspective of violence is not the answer to get the things to get your way, to get what you want. That's not the appropriate response. Having that impact on future generations, I think, is really important for continuing to pass liberty.
And people don't realize what they're doing with that violent response. It's not just like, oh, the violent response is going to have issues down the road. It's like the violent response is a direct correlation with people thinking that the state is an appropriate way to solve problems.
Right.
It's not an okay thing. And people act like this is a strange thing as well. Like, where's all this violence coming from in society? And it's like, what the state says is that if you have a cause that's good enough, if you have a noble enough cause, then you can break the nap. You can do whatever you want to get that cause. You can use violence if your cause is good enough, as in banning drugs or whatever thing the state decides to do. Right. So if you're – exactly. So if you in your head think your cause is good enough, like murdering a bunch of gays at a club, then that is a direct – that follows from what the state says.
If your feels are strong enough, murder is perfectly fine.
Exactly. And the state has demonstrated that, you know – Waco was another example of a mass shooting in the United States that had a bigger death toll than the recent one.
Well, it's like Pendulet says, you get no moral credit for forcing other people at gunpoint to give money to what you believe in. You get moral credit for giving into what you believe in, not for forcing others to. And I absolutely agree. I mean, using that force, you know, my kids already are fuck the government. You know, we had this lesson a couple of years ago. They went to my parents' house. They raked some leaves for $5 and he gave them ones. So I said, give me your money. I took $2 of it, put it in my pocket. I said, that's the government's share. And they were like, they were beside themselves. And ever since then, fuck the government. That's my kid's word.
You Ron Swanson the shit out of them. Have you seen that where he like he has little girls lunch and like to teach her what the government does. He just like takes a sandwich, takes a bite out of it, takes a sip of her juice, and he's like, "That's what the government does." And he sends her home with a claymore mine to defend her property and teaching her like about how the government taxes and steals from her. It was a great episode, great show. Look it up.
There's nothing more beautiful than hearing your 8 and your 10-year-old kids say "fuck the government" and "fuck the police." That's the best thing in the world. Not gonna lie, it's awesome.
That's when you truly know you succeed as a parent. You can die happy at that point.
Absolutely. I know that they're set. They're good to go. So anything else we want to talk about tonight, or are we ready to kind of wrap it up?
Well, you had just asked about like moving. I don't know. Harry said he was intending to. Joe, do you want to go first or me? Or
Did you sign the pledge?
I haven't signed shit yet, as Alexander Spooner would say.
I didn't sign shit.
Yeah. Oh, that's a nice social contract there. Be a shame if I didn't sign shit. But no, like I remember, 3 years ago when I was at an SFL conference in DC, there were some Free State people there trying to, whore out for signatures, and they were trying to get me to sign. I mean, I was like 20 in college and nowhere near doing any of that. But now that I have to say, now that I've actually been in New Hampshire, it's fucking gorgeous. Like, I could actually see myself potentially moving here one day. I never would have, said that prior, and it certainly won't be anytime soon. I've got my life going on in Indy. I've just signed a new lease for another year, so I'm busy doing things there. It won't be anytime soon, but
freedom can wait.
Potentially, potentially I could see it.
Well, so I actually did sign the pledge, and it's interesting because that's when I lived in Massachusetts, and then I moved to Florida. I went the wrong
way. Going the wrong way.
It's so cold here. It really is so.
That N and S on the compass just gets so confusing. Yeah, I know they look similar.
I know. But I'm doing what I wanted to do in New Hampshire in Florida. Like I live on 10 acres and I'm doing some mini farming and I get to, kind of do the homesteading thing that I want to do. Florida's not a permanent place for me, but if I live in New Hampshire, I'm going to have a lot of greenhouses or something because it's cold. I'm sorry. It is. But I do intend on living here at least part of the year. It was sometime within the next 5 years in order to try to keep true to the contract I signed.
And at least in Florida, you can anticipate not having 3 feet of snow shitted all over your garden, right? That you're exactly growing food on. So.
Yes, talking to my uncle who lives up here is like, yeah, make sure you get a metal roof because you don't want to be out raking your roof, trying to pull all the snow down. Yeah, not going to lie to you, it snows up here. It snows a whole lot. It's the same temperature, like about 5 degrees different between Indiana, but a whole crap load more of snow.
But like, the fires of liberty will keep you warm.
Oh, yeah. Use your Bitcoin, buy a bigger coat, that's the thing is, like, I work in IT. Oh, but it's cold outside. It's okay. I don't work outside. I work in an office. I'm going to go from house to Subaru because, libertarian. I'm going to go to Subaru, go to work, from Subaru to office, from office back to Subaru and go home.
You're Mazda in these mountains, though.
I can't wait. It's going to be like Initial D fun times going through the mountains in my rotary. what? You know, that's the what's the dream of anyone who has like a 50-50 balanced car is twisties.
I mean, look, wait long enough until Free State has completely taken over New Hampshire, and in the newfound area of free market enterprise, we'll have invented some way to control weather, and it won't be snowing. This will be the next Florida. Just you wait. So
that's what global warming is. It is a conspiracy by the Canadian government to turn it into a tropical paradise.
Oh, so now this is a conspiracy podcast. Okay.
Oh yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Let's go there.
The tinfoil hat to run.
Tinfoil fedoras, please.
I'm a huge fan of the Tribbly, but you know.
Well, we can use jet fuel to keep us warm, but it won't melt the steel beams of our Howe home, so we'll be perfectly fine.
Yeah. But like, yeah, if you like the idea of liberty, and you think about the Free State Project, sign up, or just you don't have to sign, just come up, move up, and if you don't want to sign already, that's good. If just keep paying attention, we'll be the example for the rest of the 49 states, or how many states are left?
Well, let me tell you, if I can come all the way from Arkansas, where it's 105 degrees a couple of days ago, up to here and deal with the temperature, anybody can.
Bro, yeah. Well, like, it's good for those people like Seth, who's like, well, I'm not going to move yet. I'm going to assume Seth is going to keep an eye on the project. And probably come up here in 10 years after, like, a lot of people have slowed down, gotten tired, want to do something else. Seth will be like, I'm here, I'm ready to get to work. Like, cool, here's the torch, I'm going to go sit down.
So, and I would say, come visit New Hampshire. Come on vacation, or better yet, come to Porkfest and look at it all. If you don't jizz yourself instantly looking at the mountains, you have no soul.
That's one of the best things about Porkfest, that you're sitting here and you have mountains on three sides of you, and it's a true retreat in the sense where you're just.
Well, it's so funny.
Well, my wife had to say,
my first year at Porkfest, I spent 3 days at this rustic site, like on the top of the mountain, doing nothing but staring at mountain. I was like, I'm just gonna sit here.
Were you tripping balls on shrooms or something at the time? Because that seems very plausible.
No, just coffee.
I knew a guy who stared at cigars. I knew a guy who stared at a cloud for 20 minutes today, just like, holy shit.
Nope, just coffee, whiskey, and cigars.
Yeah, but that sounds like something you could totally do at Porkfest. It's funny, my wife and we came up here for the first time for my job interview, the first time I'd been in New Hampshire, and immediately fell in love. And the next day after the job interview, I had a job offer in my inbox. So it was a no-brainer for us. Of course, we lived about 10 miles on the Arkansas side of Memphis, Tennessee, one of the worst crime places in the country. The weekend we were up here for my job interview, there were 6 murders in Memphis. And that's where I raised my kids. Like, oh, hell no. We're out of there. And we say we live on a postcard because we really do. Everywhere you look, no matter where you are in the state, it's like looking at a fucking postcard. It's incredible.
Yeah. You can't beat the natural beauty. And it is, being from Massachusetts, this was where I would always escape because that state is hellhole. It's right over the border, so it's like you get to just go up and enjoy the. I'm a big hiker. I like mountains.
You're one of those massholes that we all hate.
Exactly. No, it is true. And I think the masshole shows through sometimes, and sometimes I try to tone it down because I'm not sure how those. A
couple years ago when you're like, oh, NRA. And
oh, Jesus Christ.
There you go, the South Park, yeah.
Oh, please tread on me.
So it's okay. You've seen the light show. We accept you. It's all good.
Oh yeah. And actually, my first Porkfest was where I started to see the light. I arrived in the first talk in the first 5 minutes that I was here was David Friedman. He was talking about agencies and how they would deal with law, which formed a big part of Anarchy New England, and that was what it was kind of like. A light dawns on Marblehead. Like, oh. Oh, right. I believe in the free market. Like, of course, the free market could take care of that as well.
Did you read Bob Murphy's Chaos Theory prior to your book? Because a lot of the things you talk about in your book seem like they could have come from Bob Murphy's book.
I haven't,
as well.
Actually, no.
It's a really good. It's for free on the internet called Chaos Theory. It's really good. It goes into police and courts and how that would be handled in an anarchist society. And a lot of what you put in your book sounds like it could have come directly from that pamphlet.
Yeah, and a lot of what I did was it was from David Friedman and then just imagining how it would work from there. I kind of just took the principle and extrapolated because I already had believed in the free market so much that it all fell into place. Like it had been, years in the making where I understood how economics functioned, except I wasn't like, well, but we still need a little evil just to even out the good,
Right, right.
Good requires a little evil, obviously.
Just a touch of arsenic in your beautiful spaghetti dish. A little won't hurt.
Exactly. And
just the tip, right? Just
there's an article I was reading too that was about
just for a second, just to see how it feels.
Oh, okay, it's getting way too gay.
Yeah, yeah.
I've known that trap. You know.
Harry and I are straight, just saying.
This is what happens when you invite two fags on the podcast.
Porkfest makes everybody question their sexuality.
That's true.
You know, come to Porkfest.
I was the one talking about the beautiful men, so what can I say?
It breaks down social barriers.
Right, it does. It does. I've seen a lot this week. So and I'm going to go ahead and say it, on the there's an official hashtag, PorkFestXIII, and I was looking through it a couple of days ago, and there was a post from somebody about which tent you could go to for a prostitute for $40.
Oh, my God.
Whoa. I mean, they have
What's
got
that hashtag?
Again, they've got it all here. It's incredible. Now, that one got deleted the next day, but it was there.
I was just about to ask, do they cater to, is it male prostitute, female? Do we know? What's the deal with that?
Well, I think there's probably both here, but these were catering to men. There were females catering to men, but I would imagine you could go either
Seth,
way.
Seth, I don't know if you need any.
This is true.
No, he can find a man on his own without
That's very true. I don't have to pay. Very true. You can trust this. You listeners will never know because it's just audio, but I'm sexy as fuck. I don't need to pay.
There's a decent gay crowd here. I mean, it seems to me that it's like growing every year. There's like a whole subculture here.
Well, I've never even heard the term gaynarchy until him, but apparently that's a thing.
Gaynarchist.
Kind of explain some of that.
Well, I mean, so the only reason I'm on Porkfest is because I originally appeared on We Are Libertarians. When I appeared on there, I had made some comment about, like, you know, I was the only gay ANCAP. Because, like, 3 months ago or whenever, when I first appeared on here, I didn't know any other gay ANCAPs. I knew one gay libertarian in Indy who's a minarchist. You know, I assumed there was probably one other, you know, one out there somewhere. But I figured it was such, you know, they're both unicorns. And, like, the overlap of two special kinds of unicorns, I just didn't anticipate there being very many. But, sure, you know, I appear on the podcast and I'm talking about it. One of the listeners of WoW was in this gaynarchy group on Facebook.
Yeah, who was it?
It was Keenan Witt. I want to say his name. I could be butchering that.
Hope he's out.
Yeah.
Shit. he posts stuff on Facebook, which is pretty out. So if he's out on Facebook, I figure he'll be out on a podcast. But damn, I almost forgot about that. That's horrible. But yeah, he found me on Facebook then and was like, hey, there's this group I should add you to. And then through there, started meeting other people, Joe and some other people on the
game. Listen to Flaming Freedom.
I did, yes, for a couple episodes. And and then...
But even like Wall is experimenting with video. We don't really do like live video. We don't have the video here because I refuse to touch that iPad thing that Chris likes to use, even though it does do beautiful 4K. I am not touching it. Refuse.
I do another podcast as well here for a local segment of the New Hampshire called the Free Coast. It's the Seacoast area right on the ocean, and we do a Free Coast Free Cast every 2 weeks. And we've been experimenting with some of the Facebook Live video stuff, and there's some really cool stuff you can do with that. So we're, you know, getting bigger into that. I may incorporate some of that in the Lava Flow one day. I don't know.
I do like Flaming Freedom. Yeah. The production quality is good. I can listen to it. I'm freaking tone deaf, so a lot of the things I don't really hear. It's just, yes, I'm tone deaf. I can't hear the difference. I play 6 different instruments. I don't hear
any. You're one of those people who doesn't notice the difference with MP3 and vinyl.
Nope, I don't notice that. Also, all the notes that I can play,
I
barely notice a difference. I let other people tell me I was not hitting a note or not hitting a note. Like, you were flat there. Oops.
Well, don't quit your day job. The music career isn't looking too promising.
Hey, I was rated one of the best bass players in Indianapolis. So
that's so stereotypical. You play bass?
Yes, yes. I play bass. I have 2 bass. I have one that I do slap, and one. And yes, I do keep my bass in the basement. I knew you were going to ask that.
No. What I was going to ask, is it blues or jazz? Because that's all you can do, right?
I do jazz, rock, and metal. I love playing metal bass. That's why I got that massive 5-string slap. Oh my god! Yeah.
Amen to that. But Roger, I hope your racism insurance policy is paid up. I know mine is. I saw that up from Harry.
Well, you know, yeah. since Chris isn't here, somebody had to step up and be the racist, right?
Right. Well, and usually it's Greg, but Harry and I have a special agreement. He trades me racism insurance for my faggot insurance, so we get away with it on both ends there.
So is there a cis insurance as well? I don't know.
How dare you assume, first off?
Yeah. Did you just assign me a gender?
Yeah.
cis white male shitlord. Yeah.
Right, right. But yeah, the racism insurance, that's great.
Yeah, Roger's here with his Don't Tread on Me fedora.
It's not a
fedora. It's a fedora. It's a fedora. Don't let him lie to you. It's a fedora.
It's a camo ball cap.
Thank you, Seth.
It's okay. I've got my Buck Commander, you know.
Right. That is such a white hat. Let's just be honest.
I love people's faces when they're like, they can't handle the hat that I'm wearing this hat.
Yeah. I love it. I love it.
Kind of thought you said Butt Commander.
Gay.
I should get a Butt Commander hat. Just watch people try to handle that. Like, but yeah, Butt
he's,
Commander.
He's black, gay, and an anarchist. Talk about a unicorn.
Just look at somebody.
Right. So just for Chris and Greg, I did get a picture of Harry holding the door for us. So
I wanted to go a step further and have Harry down on all fours as Roger uses him as a step stool up into the RV, but somehow that was too far, I guess.
He ran out of Dogecoin.
Right,
you know.
I couldn't pay for it, right?
Yeah.
Couldn't pay enough.
Yeah, sorry, yeah. I'm collecting
My ether has gone way down in value, so I'm screwed. Oh, my God.
Just wait till, yeah, don't worry. The ether's going to get redistributed between everyone because of the theft. Don't worry. It'll be okay.
I hope so, because mine, it was worth 400, what I had, I don't know, I put a couple hundred bucks in it about a month ago, got up to 480, now it's like 300. Shit, that sucks. But at least I haven't lost anything yet.
Should have bought Dogecoin.
I only use status bills, so I'm obviously impure.
Now that's gay.
Only if the balls touch.
Or if it's underneath the not gay blanket or in the not gay tent. Because whatever happens underneath the not gay blanket, it's not gay.
Well, we all said no homo before starting this, so we're covered.
Right,
it's
know.
Okay.
Does that actually work? I don't know.
Yeah.
You can. Totally it works. Can be lights out. You whisper soft into the ear, no homo, and everything's fine. Provided the ball's not.
Yeah, just like my tattoo in the back that says this doesn't count. Like right back there, that doesn't count.
Okay, no, that's good to know. Next time I'm in that situation, I've got my pass, so we're good to go. I'll have to tell my friend who's married to the straight guy for the tax benefits.
This is probably the gayest episode of WoW we've ever had. I think that's definitely. Safe to say.
It's making me question things about myself. I don't know what I should say about that.
You should always question
hot yoga
yourself.
You saw going on and whatnot.
Yeah.
Right.
So a couple more days at Porkfest, we'll get you in some short shorts doing yoga down there.
Trust me, nobody here wants to see that. Nobody here wants to see
that. So you think that, but I'm sure that I can get on here and find a subreddit, and they would want to see that.
So I'm seeing the Survivor GIF where it's like the horrified faces in the one guy. That's my fetish. Like, that's what's going to be.
But because, yeah, if you ever get to listen to Rupert, he was talking about, like, because he took his pants off and went out swimming in the ocean, and, like, all the camera crew started running over, and you can hear him on the radio. Rupert's got his pants off. Rupert's got his pants off. So, yeah, people would probably, there's people out there that may want to see it, you know.
Yeah, because I'm so famous on my Lava Flow podcast. Give me a break. Nobody wants
well,
to see
if you would, you know, do the right hashtag to get the people who are into volcanoes, you know, to, like, listen to your podcast.
It's funny. There is an actual volcano podcast out there. So
serious?
I actually met a geologist here at Borgfest, so yeah, it definitely could be something he's interested
in. A gay geologist.
Yeah, we're thinking of the same guy. Yeah, we are, yeah.
God, it is so gay here. What
I hope what everybody's learned is that you have to be gay to join the Liberty Movement. Just kidding.
Whoa.
This is totally true. Our agenda is taking over in more ways than one.
This podcast just got taken over by the Gay Liberation Front.
Yeah. Hijacked. Straight people, you're now below us because, you know, check your privilege and whatnot. And Joe and I are now dear leaders, so you all have to deal with that. We've usurped the throne from Chris.
But you are a white male, so you've got your own privilege, right? So is there like a balancing act? Does mine balance yours out? How does it work?
I'm a quarter Czech, and as we all know, the Czechs in the Slavic region were slaves, so yeah.
I'm part Irish.
All I'm saying is reparations. Give it to me.
Yeah, one butt plug at a time.
I just don't know why you would assume I was white just by the color of my skin.
Oh, right,
I might identify.
How dare you assume his race just by looking at him?
Triggered.
Right, right. So let's just be clear. Harry, what race are you?
Black. It's called black. black.
So African-American, like Dave Matthews, right?
No. Black. It's called black. I have never once been to Africa, nor do I plan to step foot on that continent. You know, what? There's nothing there for me. I'm sorry. There's nothing on that continent for me. Maybe Egypt, maybe, but that's a big maybe, and that's barely Africa. That's more Middle East. Anyways.
I could repeat something Stefan Molyneux. Stefan Molyneux said on about black people in Africa, but I probably best I don't.
Well, I don't know what's worse, the African part of that or the American part of that.
The American part, yeah. But that's why I just like the term black, because it's people know what the hell you're talking about.
Of course,
when you say black, and you know, it's just easier to like, because you could say African American, but like. All right, so it could be like the whitest dude ever just because they were born in South Africa.
Well, the perfect example of that is Carla Garrick, the former president of the Free State Project, is from South Africa. She's a white woman. She's technically African American.
She's more African than I am, yes. Yeah.
And,
yes.
And Dave Matthews, you know, from, like, am I getting that right? Is that the right name? The Dave?
Yeah.
Because he's South African as well, and I mean... There was a whole thing I saw. It was like a bunch of people that were not black, but they're technically African American.
Even Don Cheadle, he's only what 71% black African. You know, 71% sub-Saharan African. Yeah, Don Cheadle, as dark as he is, the only 71% sub-Saharan African.
I think that only gay men would know that Dave Matthews is from South Africa. I don't think straight men would.
Or guys who just want to bang white college chicks.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, in the 90s.
That's the only reason to ever go to a Dave Matthews band concert is to go meet like white chicks.
Right, right.
I mean, that was the only reason that women were supporting Bernie, right, was to meet guys. That's what Hillary's feminist friend told us, right? Does anybody?
Yeah.
Did not anybody pick up on that?
I did. Come on. Yeah, because it was supposed to be like that's what girls are trying to do in college is meet guys.
Yeah. I mean, so my kind of feminist Bernie supporting / ANCAP roommate, I give her shit about that all the time. She's a bag full of contradictions, but.
Bag full of what? But you know, it's funny because I was a guy in college, and trust me, women had no trouble getting men in college. I don't know why they think that would be a problem.
Right. Yeah, well, the thing is, like, what got me is like when you were talking about. All right, go another tangent. Like a lot of the stuff I would use, like as pickup lines and stuff like that in college, or like considered like offensive now. I used to use this move. I'm going to let this out of the bag. I used to use this thing called the gawk, where you just stare. At some woman.
I fuck the shit out of them.
Yeah, you just stare at them. You just get them, and they eventually say, hi. And you're just like, hi, what's up? And you just start talking to them.
Nowadays, you'd hear, stop raping me.
I know. It happens.
I did not consent.
Of course, you know, like one of the best health teachers in the world, like in high school, they always tell me like, hey, when you go to college, just never, ever, ever be alone with a white woman in your dorm room. Ever. Ever.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she's just very candid. You know, I took that to heart, you know, probably saved my life.
Probably.
What? It's the truth.
So, you know, speaking of dating men, women, all of this, I heard a new term this weekend. I think it might have been you that came up with it or that told me about it. The platinum versus the gold. Yes, please get into that.
So, there is a thing, gay star gold, which, fuck me. Gay gold star gay.
You want another pudding pop?
It's this damn scotch. So there's a gold star gay, which is a gay guy who has never fucked a girl before. And then there's a step further, which is a platinum star gay, which is a gay guy who has never fucked a girl before, and he was born through C-section. So literally, he has never touched a vagina in his life.
Sounds like Chris Spangle.
Oh, burn.
Sorry, I could not resist. Sorry. Chris is going to love that one.
Greg's just the gold star, so they both represent all of that.
You know, eventually, you know, they'll get married, so while we'll get that tax credit, you know, it'll be great.
Right, there you go.
Speaking of straight dudes marrying each other, I mean, Chris and Greg might as well. Like, they've got some pretty strong bromance thing going on there, so.
I would hope they would marry, then move into a house. This way, the Wall Studios will get larger.
And they could do it more than just weekly. Like, they could have, you know, bi-weekly podcasts.
Exactly.
Did you say bi?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we'd have a better studio. It'd be opened up. It'd be nice. It'd be great.
Or you could just move up to New Hampshire and use my badass studio that I do all of my stuff out of. Problem solved.
Yeah.
And speaking of, we have got to get the whole wall crew here next year. We got to get Chris here. We got to get Greg here. We got you two. Get Joe here. Yeah, we got to do that.
If we can bring enough cats, we might lure Chris. But
yeah. Well, like a part of my thing, like to get finished.
It's known to this, chase pussy,
my summer so. Project for wall is to make it so we can actually like we've got to work on the bandwidth in Chris's at the studios because like the bandwidth
his ghetto ass apartment.
I know luxury. It's a luxury studio.
Oh, sorry.
Luxury.
I got that wrong.
Luxury apartment.
I used to live like 10 minutes away from him in Greenwood. Yeah, I've seen his apartments.
Put it this way, I've got a cheap business class DSL, and I'm destroying his bandwidth.
Oh, that's so sad.
Destroying it. But
imagine if you actually threw money at that shit. Like, you
could... Right, yeah. Yes, I have. Yes, there's this thing called business class DSL. It's very inexpensive, but it gives me a nice standard thing for the servers I have going on in my basement. What do I do in my basement? None of your damn business. Anyways.
Sex dungeon.
What I'm planning on doing, and also you bastards who probe my servers, go screw yourselves.
Just a probe? What? That's what you're doing in the
It's like alien, you know, deep anal probe, that kind of thing.
But wow. But my summer project is trying to get so Wall will be able to like remote into clients. Easier. One, I want the parallel Mexican Joe to be able to like remote in easier, so we can have him on the show. I love having shows with Joe on, and because I know that here in a bit. I'm not going to be an indie able to walk in like, hey, yeah, I'm free on a third. You know, I'm free. Let's record.
Daddy has his way. That parallel Mexican won't be anywhere near the podcast. You know that.
Who's daddy? Who's your daddy? What? I missed that.
DJ Trump, of course.
Oh, I gotcha. I gotcha.
That's a Milo-ism.
Yeah, I missed that because of the alcohol.
What? Yeah. Want another pudding pop? Yeah, this is why, like, when I go to a Wall episode, like, Greg brings the two-hearted because, like, if not, I bring hard scotch. But, like, this way, because I know I will be in New Hampshire, I was like, I've got to be able to, I still want to be on the podcast. I love it. I was, you know, since this podcast had adopted me and picked me up from the flames of my previous podcast, I still want to be on it, and I love being on it. So I'm my summer project is so I can remote in and do a lot of the tech stuff that the podcast has needed because I swear every time Chris wants to play an audio file and he puts it on his freaking iPhone and he plays it through the microphone, I just cringe and just like, oh, this is my fault because, you know, I just need to get my butt in gear and get it done.
I'll just hurry up and move up here and we'll just build our own podcast network and, you know, then Wall will not exist anymore because it sucks. So Wall sucks. The lava flow rule. Can't even talk. The lava flow rules. It's the scotch.
Well, like, you know, like, hopefully I can get, like, it'd be great. Cause, like, I also try to get, like, my other, cause like, I do, like, two other podcasts, which I try to, two of them I'm going to try to get restarted because the other one I was doing, it went down because, like, the girl I was doing with, she just had, like, a terrible schedule, but she finally found another job. So we could probably get that back up and going, which is awesome. I love doing non-political podcasts sometimes. It's a lot fun just either concentrating on tech or something else because, like, sometimes dealing with you guys in politics, especially you INTJs out there, you guys get on my nerves.
Now it's the shameless plugging part? Okay, so shameless plugging and whoring of whatever. I just have one little thing. This isn't me, but somebody I met here at Porkfest. He is working on a startup, Proudsource.us. It is kind of like Kickstarter, but a little more instead of just like getting gifts or whatever. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Joe, but it's like you get some kind of investment opportunities in the actual startup.
I think it's a new way to do charity funding business funding. Yeah, exactly. But I'm actually not that familiar with it. I'm familiar with his other project, Icha, and the startup societies, but.
Well, that's your shameless plugging, isn't it?
Well, that's another. I have a lot to shamelessly
shamelessly whore out. That's all I have is the Proudsource thing. Take a look at it because it seems pretty interesting. I was talking to the guy who was setting it up. I think their alpha site just went up live not too long ago. So check it out. Roger?
I will plug the Free State Project. If you haven't heard about it, if you haven't looked into it, you know, it really is no bullshit. The fires of liberty will keep you warm. If I can do it from Arkansas to New Hampshire, then you can do it from wherever the hell you are. There's not an excuse. I also want to plug, obviously, the Lava Flow podcast, the lavaflow.com, because I'm a whore as well. I think we're all a little bit of whore.
Such a good podcast, yeah. And much better than the We Are Libertarians.
And New Hampshire's not really that cold, okay? I was exaggerating a little bit.
Well, now, there was about a week where it was, you know, -5, -6. I thought, what the fuck am I doing? And let me tell you, shoveling snow sucks. But to watch it out of your window when it's dark and quiet and peaceful, there's nothing better in the world.
Get yourself some whiskey and some weed. Right. And you just get that in Waffle House. And do they have Waffle Houses here?
I really haven't seen one since I started going this far north.
Yeah. They're few and far between. Yeah. So if you like Waffle House, it might not be the best opportunity for you, but
there's plenty of other food here. Yeah, so yeah. There is Taco Bell here, so you're set.
I'll shamelessly plug myself. So I'm Joe Jarvis. I wrote Anarchy New England in my newest book, Flight Grounded, which is really exciting and a quick read, only $7 on Amazon. So Flight Grounded is what you want, and joejarvis.me is my blog if anybody wants to stay updated with my either nonfiction writing or to find out when the fiction stuff's coming out. So yeah,
Harry.
I'm almost jealous of all the people that get to read all that fiction material. Doing a lot of IT work, what I do, I don't get to read a lot of fiction. I read a lot of IT books.
Yes.
I've been curling up with the CISSP thing. I can't remember what it is. Anyways, it's another security protocol that's what I've been curling up with. But
SQL documentation keeps me warm at night.
Yeah.
Well, I just finished before I came up here for Porkfest, 1,200-page book on group policy. So I feel your pain.
Oh yeah, yeah. But it's my shameless plug. What I'm going to do, I'm going to plug Wall Life. We Are Timmons Life. I don't know when this is probably going to get posted, but this is a Wall episode. We're going to do a live episode at Morty's Comedy Joint on June 27th. I will be arriving back into Indy that day, but we do one at least once a month. Come out, you get to see everyone for We Are Libertarians. If you guys ever want to come out for a live episode here in Indy, we plan them out. Come out, fly out. We do it at Morty's Comedy Joint on a Monday night. It's nice, and then there's live karaoke afterwards where you actually can do karaoke with a live band. So yeah, you can live up those rock star dreams you've always had.
Just tell Chris to quit inviting me to that event, because there's no way I'm going to make it from New Hampshire.
Oh, you'll make it.
No, I won't
make it. Oh, you'll make it.
No, I will stay as far away from Indianapolis as I can.
You'll freaking make that event. Because we're going to get, because eventually the Libertarian Convention is going to happen in Indianapolis, and we'll just do a Wall Live that same day, and you'll come. Because you'll come. You all will come. And also, my other shameless plug is, all you people out there with the same password who have never changed your password, change your damn passwords. I swear to God, and have different passwords. Get a password manager. I swear to God.
I concur completely.
And get back up your crap. You know, it makes me, sorry, I'll calm down, but it makes it
back
me,
up your shiz.
Yeah. I like it when I go to someone's house to work on your computer, when you're like, well, I have my backup right here. It was like, and I could easily restore back to 3 days back, 2 days back, or whatever crap thing that you did that day. It's easier for me to restore from your backup or your IT family, whoever, that cousin, that, you know, nephew that does your IT stuff, back your stuff up, change your passwords on a regular basis, just like you change your underwear once a month, just like I do, you know, so just
more frequently if you're not straight.
What? What's wrong with changing once a month? You know, you flip it inside out every other day. It's
spoken
fun.
Like a true straight man.
I'm straight and I'm not that bad. I at least do it once a week.
Metrosexual, I think, is the term to describe you, Roger.
That's so funny, because 10 years ago I would have totally been accused of that. I've changed a lot since then. Mm-hmm.
But you buy underwear at the mall, don't you?
I did, yes.
For oh, my time. God.
But now that I've been married for 10 years, I don't need any of that shit anymore, so it's all good.
Yeah, well, it's okay. My wife, she bought me underwear from the mall. I returned it. It's like, I can't wear this. This is name brand underwear. Right. No, I'm straight. I have to buy my underwear at Walmart in the six-pack. Right. Look like I looked at this
underwear.
But
now that I'm married, most of my clothes does come from Walmart. Okay. Before that, it was the Buckle. It was Abercrombie, you know, all that. Now it's Walmart. Yeah, and I've got two kids. That doesn't help. So, yeah. So anybody else have anything?
What
You had some ICHA stuff, didn't you, Joe?
Yeah, actually, there's a really cool Startup Society Summit.
I have to plug your own shit for you.
Now. I'm sorry. Where is this coming? You know what? Buy my book, and I don't give a shit. No, I'm just kidding. So ICHA is International Coalition for Human Action, and they're hosting the Startup Society Summit next weekend in Portsmouth.
I will be there.
Awesome. Yeah,
looking forward to that. I know you were involved in that. Great.
Absolutely, and it's an awesome organization because it's for startup societies, little free market enclaves that are trying to pop up all over the world and really fill... Do government better than government does government.
But and I was on the fence about whether or not I was going. It's at the Prax, and I'm a member of the Prax.
Oh,
and
awesome.
I was considering going, and then I found out my mother-in-law is going to be in town that week. I'm going to be
there. Definitely going to be there.
Open to close every day. I'm going to be there.
That's good to hear. Yeah, that'll be fun.
So I guess that's Harry.
So like, Greg and Chris is not here,
right?
So we get to end the episode.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
I know. It's like, and it's almost like nervous. Think I'm going to mess this up. But
are we going to try and actually end it the proper way they do? Or I feel like we should shamelessly mock it somehow.
See, like, I'm torn because it's like I always wanted to like end the show being a former fan of the show.
We can't miss this opportunity to shamelessly make fun of them, though. So, I mean, they did let us just hijack their podcast for one episode.
Oh, okay. So you ready? You ready to do this?
Well, like, I have had the opportunity, the glorious opportunity to do Greg's side of that when I was on Wall and Greg was not there.
What the heck?
I've been able to do it. So I'll give this honor to Seth.
What the heck? Maya stole that from me. All right. So I get to mock dear leader, the Canadian better.
Canadian overlord.
Yeah.
And supreme ruler of all.
Yeah. So as always,
we promise
to do better.
Never.
Never. Never. Never.
We'll
do
never
better.
Do better than
do
this.
Better than, this is the
this
ultimate
is the
show.
Top. This is the most minority diversity we've had on the show. It's never getting better than this.
Yeah. 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 This is it. This is it.
Enjoy the rest of the cis white male, straight male shitlord podcast. That will be the rest of it forever. Goodbye.
Hi. This is Chris Spangle. Can you hear how good I sound? I sound great. And you know why? It's because listeners like you go to wearelibertarians.com/wishlist and you help us purchase new equipment. And then we take that equipment and we hook it all up and then we sound really good. And the only thing that can possibly go wrong is if I forget to hit record one more time. So, if you want us to help... If you want us to... Listen, getting new equipment isn't going to make everything better. There's still going to be problems with people like me and talking into the microphone, but you can make us sound really good as we're messing up by going to wearelibertarians.com/wishlist and purchasing an item today. It helps us grow, it helps us do more, and it helps us make sound better. Make sound better? That doesn't even mean anything. Well... I'm still not giving up, and I hope you weren't either. So please, wearelibertarians.com/wishlist. Thank you for listening to the We Are Libertarians Network. Get our other shows at wearelibertarians.com.